This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestics microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. We get the show rolling today with a person I consider to be the best in the business, and thank you for all the kind words you have said this season. I appreciate that. Brad Nessler. Brad, welcome.
Hey, Steve. It seems like I've seen you and Jack more than I've seen my wife this year. I don't know.
That's not good, Brad. That's not a good thing.
How are you, my friend?
Said, I'm doing great because I said to my wife on Friday, hey, by the way, I said, basketball Thursday, basketball Tuesday next week. I said, I've got the weekend off. Oh, great. I came home from the game Saturday. I said, there's been a change in plans.
Well, you know, I you probably would have been maybe better off if you had the weekend off and then just sit back and get a nice home game as a five seed or whatever. But the way it is, I think this is pretty cool. You know, we got number one against number three, so we'll take it, right?
So and you and I both know the difference of seeing somebody in person. It to me, it makes all the difference in terms of perception of a team. I haven't seen Oregon in person, but you have. When you've seen them, what strikes you about them?
I think the biggest thing that would strike people that haven't watched them, because I think you think of Oregon and you think of 50 different uniforms and all kinds of offense and everything, I think you'd be surprised at their offensive and defensive lines and how good their defense is. They still don't – they're still kind of unnoticed. Somebody said to me yesterday, are they the most unmistakable number one team, or are they most unremarkable number one team that nobody knows anything about? And I would say the latter, you know. They've just kind of been laying in the weeds, which ducks do, as we know, you know, just sitting out there in the pond in Eugene. And I think they're under the radar for being a number one team in the country, because I don't know that people have seen them enough. You know, Ohio State people know that they're going to see Penn State, and they're going to see Michigan, and they're going to see their Nittany Lions, and you know, all of that. But just being new to the conference and coming in, you know, from the West Coast, I think everybody still has the perception, West Coast, you know, flash and dash, a lot of offense, a lot of speed, and no defense, and offensive defensive lines aren't physical. That would be the thing that would stand out, I think, is that's what Dan Lanning's built in his 3 years, is he knew coming from the SEC and going to the Big Ten, got to be physical every week and have to have depth on both lines. And he's put a pretty nice team together.
Yeah, because I told people when they'd asked me about the matchup, I said, look, you're going to have four of the better defensive ends in the country on the same field at the same time. Because, I mean, I see what you see, at least on video. Like, those defensive ends can flat-out play for that team.
Yeah, and, you know, their two tackles, their left tackle, Connerly, is first-team All-Big Ten, and their right tackle is second-team All-Big Ten. And so that matchup with Dennis Sutton and Abdul, that's going to be so much fun to watch. I know that we're going to be zoomed in on that, and we'll probably do a little more pit framing, you know, just because watching those guys is going to be as much fun as watching the skill position guys.
Well, the running joke I've had with people around here with having you on the show, I said the play-by-play announcer that's seen Penn State the most has been me. Number two is Brad. So when you have seen Penn State, pro and con, what has stuck out to you?
I don't have a lot of cons, I don't think. You know, the Minnesota game was, I think, one you had to gut out a little bit, and you also had to surprise some people, and the fake punt to put that in the hands of a freshman, I mean, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had it not worked, it would have been, you know, James would have been dumbest guy in the world. But it worked, and so that was guts. You know, the resiliency of probably the fourth down drive against USC when you had to have it. You know, fourth downs on that winning drive. So, and to get it and win it in overtime. And then, you know, I've just seen you blow people away. So, I mean, there's two kind of ways to look at it. And then there's my guy that definitely is on my Heisman list, and I vote, and I don't say who I vote for eventually, but
right.
I hope he makes it to New York, is Tyler Warren. I think he's the best football player in the country and the best football player, period. He's not the fastest. He's not the biggest. He's not the flashiest. That's Travis Hunter, and that's some of the other guys. But if I was drafting somebody and I was in the market for a tight end slash H-back slash do-everything, I'd pick him first. So, you know, watching him play, and every time I've had you guys, you know, you and I have said that out in the behind the booth. I can actually tell people it's probably in the bathroom, but anyway, you said what's with Tyler Warren? Every time CBS has him, he goes off, and you know, he's just been fun to watch.
Yeah, he has been fun to watch. And look, Hunter has the distinction. Look, he's playing like 105 plays a game, offense, defense. I understand that. Have you seen a player on offense used in so many different spots as Warren over your recent time?
No, never. I don't think it's ever. You know, it was probably done in two-way football. You know, when you could have been a guard, and they might have put you at fullback, and they needed an extra tight end. You know, back in the day, but nothing with the versatility of what, you know, Andy's done with him. And I mean, the all-timers, the USC, you know, playing center, the double pass. I'll never forget that play, and neither will you. And you called it beautifully, by the way.
So did you.
But just the kind of versatility that he has, and I mean, he plays them all well. And you know, the coaches say you should see him throw in practice. I said I've seen his two or three passes. They're not that great, but he was a quarterback back in the day. So I mean, I'm talking about a guy that can do everything.
Yeah, no question. Dylan Gabriel is making his 500th consecutive start. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be honest. All the games I've done, I've never seen a guy with 147 career touchdown passes until this guy. When you look at him, what makes him just a cut above as a college quarterback to you?
You know, he's seen it all, being at three different schools, three different systems. They're similar, but he doesn't get rattled. And when you meet the kid in person, you know, he doesn't get overly excited. There's a smile there and all that, but he's really level-headed and down-to-earth. And, you know, he still drives a minivan. I mean, I don't know how much money he's making with NIL, but he's driving around in a minivan. He says, well, I'd get more linemen in there to take him to dinner. So, I mean, he's just really solid, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's really accurate. When he has to move around in the pocket, he can. He does more with his legs than people give him credit for. Like you said, he's really a college quarterback. When you look at him, you go, I don't know, at the next level. But then, you know, you go, well, who's he built like? And he's built a little like Tua, and it's not because he's left-handed. He's just really big in the butt and the legs. He's not a slight guy at all. He's short, but he's not small, let's put it that way. And he can make every throw, and I don't know, he knows where his guys are at all times, and he knows where his checkdowns are. And he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. The few I've seen him make, he comes right back from that mistake, and all of a sudden he's got, you know, three touchdown passes and one on the ground.
When Gary and you have looked at Drew, what has been the prevailing feeling about his game at this point?
Well, man, he's improved so much. I mean, not just completion percentage and all of that, but I think his command of the offense, I think what, you know, Kotelnicki's done with him and getting the ball down the field better. You know, Penn State's receivers, are they elite? No. Are they good? Yeah. They're really good. They get overshadowed. I asked James, I said, you know, you want more production out of your wide receivers. Are you not getting that because Tyler Warren gets all the sugar? And he said, no. And, you know, he keeps saying, I want more out of the wide receivers. Then you look around and you go, well, they're doing pretty dang good. You know, there's four or five of them, and Drew knows how to spread it around, and, you know, his pass completion yardage, you know, has gone up, as you know, like 3 yards compared to a year ago. So he doesn't look like the same check down, swing pass guy that we saw a lot last year. At least that's what I thought when I saw you guys in person.
Yeah, no, it's the poise. I mean, you and I both know the touchdown pass to Singleton that tied the game up in the Coliseum was the fourth read. You know, the play that you called so beautifully at the end with Warren, that was supposed to go to Singleton. And I don't know if he makes that play a year ago, you know, in that situation. I just think he's just been a far more poised and controlled quarterback, Brad.
Yeah, and, you know, talking to him and Jenny talking to him after the game, that just kind of a big young guy and kind of shy and all that, he's a different dude, you know. There's more fire, there's more leadership. More everything that you expect a guy that's more mature and been around the system long enough to know what's going on.
Now, look, you did a lot of games in the SEC, so there are always a lot of big games. Now, in this scenario with the Big Ten in particular, what is the 12-team playoff, in your opinion, meant to what we saw in November in terms of the perception of how big games happen to be?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Steve, is that it kept everybody's interest. And everybody's going to be interested until what time are we going to be done on about 11:30 on Saturday night? Everybody's going to be glued to all the championship games because there's still movement to be made with who's going to the playoff, where you're seated in the playoff. So from that standpoint, I think it's made, you know, everybody thought the regular season wouldn't matter. The regular season mattered, and it's mattering, you know, right through tomorrow and Saturday and up until the selection thing on Sunday. So I think it's been good from that standpoint. There's going to be a lot of griping, you know, from who didn't get in and who got too many in and all that. But, you know, we knew that was coming. And even if they go to 16 in a couple of years or 14, that's still going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just like the NCAA tournament. Well, it's going to have a bubble that bursts somewhere and somebody's going to have hard feelings that they should have been in there and that some other conference got too much and one conference didn't get enough. So, but anyway, you know, it's kept everybody's attention all the way through.
I do have to ask you, because I never saw Indiana in person this year. You saw them. You know,
yeah.
They ended up 11-1. How good is that football team?
I don't think I'd want to play them. Depending on where they play, I don't think I'd want to play them in the playoff because I think everybody thinks they had a super soft schedule and their schedule was not great. But, you know, those schedules, a lot of that stuff's done 8 years ago. So, you know, whoever they put in front of them, with the exception of Ohio State, they knocked them off. And some of them they blew out. You know, they're beating people by 35 points and stuff. And I don't care who you're playing, Sisters of the Poor, you start beating people by 4 and 5 touchdowns, you're pretty good. And, you know, they've got a couple guys on their defensive line that I would want to play for me. And their quarterback is savvy. And, you know, good backs, receivers are decent. You know, I don't know if Gert can do that whole thing again. He's not going to have 13 guys he can bring from James Madison next time, but I think he'll recruit, as everybody will, differently from here on out. You know, they'll take half recruits and the other half transfers and portal guys and try to blend it together like he's blended together. You got to give him credit. I don't care how many guys he got that came with him, James Madison. You know, they were all good players, and he's made them better players at a higher level. So, you know, their first drive against Ohio State in that game, they took it right down the field. I was like, wow, this is going to be an awesome game. Yep. And then they had a screw-up on punt on special teams, and all of a sudden they were, you know, behind the eight ball the rest of the game, and they couldn't get out of their own way. So I think they could have played Ohio State better and kept that a two-score game, and people would look at it and go, yeah, they're pretty good. But just because they got blown out, everybody thinks they're not.
Finally, Brad, you know, you've got 1-3 on Saturday night. Any themes that you want to tell us that you guys want to hit, at least to start the game out?
No, I think we'll just beat that to death. We got number one against number three, and we got the newcomer against the oldcomers. Although it's not a Penn State not being an original Big Ten team, but they've been around a long time in the Big Ten. And so, you know, this is what people ask for, coast-to-coast conference. And we got one side playing the other side. That should be a blast.
And it will be, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday night, my friend. Thanks so much for the valuable time today. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Steve. I'll see you on Saturday, buddy.
The great Brad Nessler. You don't have to look far when you're saying, who's the best in the business? He's right there. So, great to have him on the show today. Got a lot going on. And, of course, the game will be, I think the game kicks at, like, I think somebody said 8:12, something like that, on Saturday night. Yes, the suit's having a party coming up, too, I understand, on Saturday. I guess it's to watch the Clemson-SMU game. He worries me.
Go Ponies.
He worries me. What are we doing here? The only house in the neighborhood that's going to have that game on is his. What are we doing here? Scary. So what I had laughed. I've been on the a couple of the Oregon shows, and I've said the same thing to them each time. I said, I love the fact that you guys floated the duck down the river. I thought that was... That's kind of brazen. I said, that's fun. They also had the Ducks show up at the Nebraska press conference. Like they all told me, and you know, I was talking with Joey McMurray, who does their pregame, halftime, postgame for the Oregon Network, and he's also the play-by-play voice for basketball for Oregon. And he was telling me, he says, hey, look, Steve, everybody up here expected to be in this game. I said, well. I said, when you floated the duck down the river, I guess we should have taken note of it that you expected to come back. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
To have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We do not have a show tomorrow, not because of travel. We do not have a show tomorrow because of wrestling. And it's going to be a student assembly, and they've done this for basketball before at Shikellamy.
Yes, and they've done this for wrestling, but I think it was like three seasons ago. They've been rotating the sports.
Which is great, and it's student assembly, so we're going to carry it so others who wanted to be at it, even though it's closed to students only, that way everybody in the area can hear it. So that will start at 1 o'clock tomorrow, I believe.
Yes.
So there you go. Wow. So we weren't going to have a show anyway. Even if Penn State was not playing Saturday, we would not have had a show. Now, I don't think it's right to be driving on 11 and 15 right now and pumping your fist and jumping up and down. That kind of hurts.
At least keep one hand on the wheel, please.
Yes, exactly. Hey, hopefully everybody's okay, by the way, with all that... You guys have a lot of snow, ice. What did you have there?
We ended up, our section right here, kind of in the western part of the area, did not get much. So, like, my daughter didn't have a delay, but, like, Danville and the schools a little bit east of here did.
Okay, yeah.
It was cold this morning.
Yeah, well, we had a two-hour delay here. And, man, the wind is just flying through here. Wow, it's just literally flying through here. It's unreal. They say wind advisory. Well, they got that right. It's definitely a wind advisory.
Yeah, and of course, this is the day that my daughter was supposed to walk from her school to the library to look at the Christmas trees.
Really? Hey, yeah. By the way, speaking of which, that Knoebels ride through the park sounds a lot of fun.
I have not done it, but I've heard it as it is. I've gotten stuck in the traffic.
Yeah? No, it sounds like a blast.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. I went with Ford. It could not have made a better choice. Love that vehicle. Went with an Explorer. And when I went there, they said, what are you looking for? They didn't just like walk in and go, okay, hey, we got some great stuff here. They said, what are you looking for? And I told them what I was looking for. And because I did tell them, they said, hey, they said, we have this one, this one, this one, this one. Let me tell you, the features of this one, the features of that one, and the features of that one. Which one would you like to test drive first? Right? I explained to them what I wanted. They, you know, that was like, right? That was the pressure. That's all there was. After that, it was like, hey, whatever you want. And I brought it back and I said, there's one more. Let's talk about that. When I was there, was you know, I really wanted to get the navigation system instead of just using my phone, and that became an important part of the experience. They said, "Well, this one has it, this one doesn't. You can attach your phone." I said, "I prefer not to use my phone." I said, "Okay, all right." That was it. And great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Whether it happens to be inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. The 12-team playoff has worked out, at least in year one, even better than I thought it would turn out. And as you know, I talked about the possibility of a 12-team playoff three years ago. Don't ask me why I picked 12. I just picked 12. I don't know why. I don't remember the reason why. You know? And I'm also not going to sit here and go, you know, I'm the guy that really thought about this. Please. That's absurd. I just thought that I guess my concern on going anything beyond 12 was the number of games you have to play, I guess. But my thought always was there's no doubt that anybody who argues that that college football is the most relevant regular season, they're absolutely correct. There is no getting around it. But my counter always was, yes, in September and October, that's true, but in November is college football is relevant. And I felt with the 4-team playoff over the last 10 years, I don't know about you, Todd, but I always felt like we were just marching in November toward the inevitable. And I mean, that's how I looked at it. Maybe once in a while there was some movement somewhere. Now, obviously, in year one there was with Ohio State jumping TCU and Baylor. That I understand. But most of the other years I felt like, well, like there's six teams that could do it. One of the six will get there. Not this. November was, to me, the single most entertaining November I can remember in college football in a long, long time. And this has nothing to do with the 12 teams. Oh, it benefits Penn State. I never really crossed my mind really about that. I just felt there were a lot of teams like Penn State that were good enough to be playoff teams and were X'd out of this thing. But I also thought it was best for the sport, that in terms of the interest in the sport, because people love games with stakes. And it's interesting around here, Penn State's playing Oregon Saturday night. And what really has struck me is how deeply invested the fans are in this game here at Penn State. I talked to somebody. Oh, yeah, I'm driving out. I said, you flying out? No, I'm driving out. Somebody else, I'm driving out. Somebody else, I'm driving out. I don't know if that's a commentary on the airport, but if, or on the price of airline tickets, I don't know. But they're going out in droves to see it. And just people who aren't going can't wait for the game. And I know I've been on enough Oregon radio shows this week. They're really into what's going on. And I think I find that fascinating. And I think that tells you about the interest in this game. And again, both teams are in the playoff. Right? So one, you know, the winner is going to be a Big Ten champion. That's a huge deal. Okay? The other one is going to be in the playoff. Huge deal. Okay. But I feel like the 12-team playoff has made the last 6 weeks of the season, starting from mid-October to now, unbelievably entertaining and fascinating at a level I have not seen in my lifetime. I don't know about you, Todd.
How much interest do you think would have been in this back half of the Penn State season after the Ohio State loss if it would have been in the old system? I don't think near... Even taking it like that, I don't think there would have been near as much interest in those last four games as there was.
Right. No, it would have been, I think, one of those, well, here we go again. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I think there may have been a feeling among the fans, not all, okay? Fans were always showing up anyway in droves to see Penn State play. But there would have been a feeling, even among the most loyal Penn State fan, of, oh, well, here we go again. We got no shot now. You know what I mean? And that's why I made the point I did in the postgame show of Ohio State. I said, it's a different time, a different era. Penn State's in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. And as I pointed out, and I basically used Jack's experience, I said, Jack, you and your teammates won four Super Bowl championships. How many were you undefeated? He says, none. Only the Dolphins in 72, and Jack played against them in the AFC championship game that year. Had the lead in the second half. Right? But the Dolphins came back and won. That's the only undefeated team in the NFL to go all the way through. Even the Patriots went 18-0 and then lost the Super Bowl game to the Giants. Right? And right, so if you're used to the NFL system, and that's why I wanted to use Jack's NFL experience to explain to everybody that this is a tough day. You didn't go to Beaver Stadium thinking that your team was going to lose. They did, but guess what? The sky didn't fall. Under the old system, you would have felt like the sky was falling.
I mean, I feel like the last month would have been a referendum, fairly or unfairly, on James.
And they went out there and they won all four games.
Yep.
Right? But in the new system, winning all four games put them into the playoff, which is the spot that everybody wants to be. I mean, right now, if you're Miami, And it's what Brad just said is absolutely right. In college basketball, numbers 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, and 74 are all whining and complaining about not getting into the NCAA tournament. I understand exactly how the Miami people feel, and I understand exactly how the Ole Miss people feel because of basketball experience and a little bit of football. In basketball, in 2009, and I found, and the person I got this from was C.M. Newton, I would say a very reliable source, right? And we were talking in Madison Square Garden on the floor before the semifinals of the 2009 NIT. Penn State was going to play Notre Dame. And he said, yeah, he says, you know, he says, we were sitting there in the NIT room and we had 30 of the 32 teams. And we finally called over and said, hey, we need you to send two other schools to us so we can finish the bracket. They finally sent us over San Diego State and Penn State. So Penn State was either 69 or 70. Right? They were either 69 or 70. And they ended up winning the NIT. But that's how close they were to being in the tournament. Same thing in 2018. 2018, I kept thinking, man, this team's an NCAA tournament team. As you know, even though I knew the numbers stacked up against them, so I knew the numbers stacked up against Penn State. I got it, okay. But I kept saying, boy, they're good enough to beat anybody in the NCAA tournament. But they ended up again going to the NIT, and again they won the NIT in 2018. Then, of course, 2020, ironically, Indianapolis, the heartbreak of. They play two games on, a Wednesday night? The next day on Thursday after the Rudy Gobert thing, all heck is breaking loose across the country. Rutgers and Michigan are warming up. They finally get, you know, in an empty arena, by the way, are warming up, and the word comes down 15 minutes before tip-off, we're done, we're canceling. So then they were able to get a plane, and we were able to all get on the plane and fly back to State College, to University Park. And as the plane was coming into land, all the phones went on, and Penn State was probably at worst going to be a 6 seed. And I think that's where they would have ended up, a 6, but an outside shot of being a 5, depending on how the tournament turned out. And everybody looked at their phones, and the phones, as they were coming into land, and finally you're over towers, the word came that the NCAA tournament was going to be canceled. And I sat on a plane of people where there were tears all over the place. And then, of course, 2016, Penn State football wins 9 consecutive games, including the Big Ten championship, beating Wisconsin. And they end up 5 on the outside looking in. Yes, you get to go to the Rose Bowl, which is awesome, but you end up 5. Washington, which had played a non-conference schedule that included Portland State, Idaho, and Rutgers, got in over Penn State because they had 1 loss and Penn State had 2. So I know how that feels where you're the one that's like just the commonality between the two where you're the one on the outside looking in. So I know how the Miami people feel. I know how the Ole Miss people feel. And that's one of the issues. Right? As Brad said, he says, the ones on the outside, it's hard. And there is no question that for Miami, because Miami can't jump Alabama. They can't. There's nothing that's going to happen. They can't get another data point. They didn't play either at SMU or Clemson. They didn't play either one. They can't get another data point. Ole Miss, they're not going to jump Alabama. And if there's anything that does bother me a little bit about the Ole Miss situation is that their primary complaint is Trey Harris has been hurt. I've heard that over and over again. And by the way, I think Trey Harris is a terrific college wide receiver. I mean, after watching him in the Peach Bowl up close and personal last year, label me impressed. But Penn State played all season without K.J. Winston. They played all season without Zariah Fisher. They played all season without Keon Wiley. They played the last couple of games without Anthony Donko. They played the last couple of games without Alonzo Ford. I mean, everybody, my point is, Trey Harris is an important player, but everybody has injuries. Penn State had to play the second half of the game without Drew Aller, and Bo Perbula came off the bench, played outstanding football, and Penn State won the game going away. Everybody has injuries. So it can't be, I mean, so from the Ole Miss perspective, we didn't have Trey Harris. I understand that, but you want to talk to the Ohio State offensive line coach about what he had to do?
I was going to say, by that rule, Ohio State should get some credit for the two offensive line injuries.
Yeah. Seth McLaughlin out for the year. Josh Simmons out for the year. They had to shuffle, reshuffle, move people all around. Took a guard, made him a tackle, took the other guard, and then made him put him back at center and use the other guard. It's, you know, your basic mess as to how they had to do it, trying to get their five best linemen on the field. But everybody has that, and that is an issue they have to deal with. But that's tough. Now, do I think that this moves from 12 to 14 and eventually to 16? Yeah, of course I do. The question's going to be what happens with this particular weekend. In other words, the championship game weekend. I mean, money is made on championship weekend.
I just can't imagine that, you know, I know the conference titles mean a lot, but that's a lot of wear and tear for some of your top teams that are going to be, but they, you know, in theory, at least four of them will get a bye and get that week off anyway, but
yeah.
I think there's going to be some penalties in the sense on the field for the losers having to play that extra tough game in the championship game.
Right. And that's a big part of this. But there's money to be made. I mean, this game is part of the TV package. That's the $8 billion 7-year deal. And that's the money that's coming in. So I remember when they first did this, when Nebraska came in, which gave them 12 schools, which then gave them the opportunity to have a championship game. I believe the deal, it was because they went from no title game to a title game, was $25 million. Now, that was back in 2011, Todd. Who knows how much it's worth now? Now, it's probably just part of the whole media rights deal. But, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 7 years, $7 billion. Okay. It's a lot of cash. So
I get the money part of it, but, and I know that's probably end up with what ends up winning the day, but like I said, I mean, Oregon or Penn State who loses that game and then has to play the next week, I think, you know.
Well, 2 weeks. It would be two weeks.
So you still get that week off. So that's still a plus. But, I mean, man, that's still a tough game to, you know, like you said earlier in the week, you're playing a tough game every time. And, you know, it's not like there's a lot of time there to get over to your bumps and bruises to play, say, you know, the Big 12 or Boise State in 2 weeks either.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, there's going to be a lot to contemplate. But I will presume nothing and then go from there. But in other words, my point is moving forward, if you go to 16, do you do away with this weekend? That's my question.
I wonder if they'll have to make concessions to the other TV partners to get them to sign off on a extra round of games.
Yeah, because the way it works is CBS gets it this year, Fox next year, NBC in 26, Fox in 27, CBS in 28. So the game is spoken for already in the deal.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a while then because they're all going to want their dates.
Right. That's why I think they'll go to 14 first. And then when these TV contracts start to reach their maturity, then 16. Just a thought. I mean, and let's face it, complete guesswork. Complete guesswork, ladies and gentlemen. But it's interesting to talk about. Back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Great to be with you on the show today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Faculty, I've had a chance to chat with most of you about a new syllabus tool that we're adopting for the spring semester called Simple Syllabus. It's my last year. I don't care. I'm done. Delete.
You're not gonna learn Simple Syllabus for one semester?
Nope. You're just gonna have to go with what I'm doing. I'm not gonna when it comes to teaching, and I'm gonna do it exactly the same way as I've always done it. But when it comes to the side stuff, I'm not going to knock myself out. Like, all the stuff that's important to the management, nah, not really.
Guess what? You can't come back next semester. Oh, darn.
I wasn't anyway. Yeah, the time's the transit. Time is now to transition out of teaching, so. Yeah.